Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to Zion Lutheran Church on this second Sunday in Lent. I do not have any announcements of my own other than what's in the bulletin. Does anybody have any other announcements for this morning? All right, seeing none. Let us begin our worship with our opening hymn, LSB 615, One in the Hour of Deepest Need. Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy.
And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness.
You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin.
Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us some good?
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart
than they have when their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to speak to you all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Philippians chapters 3 and 4. "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was suffered by also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Gave my body. chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing, and then from death awaken me. Let these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In Psalm 4, our introit, the psalmist, from the point of view of the Lord, asks of men, "How long shall my honor be turned into shame?" But of the Lord, the psalmist declares, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." Men turn honor into shame, taking whatever God has given as good, and completely rejecting those good things. Yet the Lord graciously desires to give those good things to men. The Lord's will to set apart the godly and gather them to himself is so strong that the Lord sends men to bring this beautiful word of grace, even when men naturally reject that word. God sees his Old Testament people, the people of Judah. God wants to bring his people closer to him, as God loves his people. God does not want to see his people stray, because if his people stray, they will be sent off into exile, away from God, away from his good things. How shameful it would be for the kingdom of Judah to have God give them so many good things, yet they turn their backs on God and do what ought not to be done. The word of God is a powerful net. It gathers in men wherever it is preached. So God sends his word to the kingdom of Judah. That word must come through a mouth. So God provides the mouth, Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The prophet is sent to speak the word, not just any word, but a word with divine command and with dominical authority. "Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them." Gathering the people back to God is a serious business. Jeremiah must call sin, sin, lest the people die in their sins. Such preaching comes at a cost. The people rebel against God, but they take out their anger against the Lord's prophet, against Jeremiah. Jeremiah preaches, "Turn from your evil deeds," but they do not. They get angry. They put the sentence of death upon the one who preaches the life-giving word from the Lord. Because Jeremiah has been sent by God, and because Jeremiah has faithfully executed the task for which the Lord sent him, Jeremiah allows the violence. Crosses are made for killing. You will bring innocent blood upon yourselves. Whatever they do to Jeremiah, the Lord, who knew him before birth, will care for him after death. Jeremiah reiterates the imprimatur that he has. "In truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." The people and the officials finally relent. They spare Jeremiah, at least this time, perhaps in a short-lived time of their own repentance, but it was short-lived. There was another prophet who came, Uriah, and Uriah spoke the same words as Jeremiah, the same words that Jeremiah spoke from the Lord. So Uriah was threatened with death, and he fled. He was chased down to Egypt, and then he was brought back to Judah, only to be killed by the king of Judah. The people did not learn. The people would not be gathered to the Lord, as much as they would rebel, and so they would be scattered in shame. Jesus comes to his own people. Surely he brings the word of the Lord. The scripture is fulfilled in their hearing. Jesus is anointed to bring good news to the poor. He proclaims liberty to the captives, to free them and gather them all together. Jesus speaks the word from God, the word that brings life, the word that calls sin, sin. And the Pharisees have been on the receiving end of the latter. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. The Pharisees have no concern for the safety and well-being of Jesus. They just deliver that message from the ruling official. Herod is after you. He wants to kill you. No surprise. Herod was too in love with his own earthly authority and rule. He had no time for heavenly things. Herod's word was the absolute rule of law in his mind. Jesus has come to the people to gather his people together, but the Pharisees want to send Jesus away from his people, sending his word away from the people. So Jesus tells the Pharisees the gracious work that he is doing. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. The demons have snatched God's people away. Satan is the strong man who has brought the whole world into his possession by his lies, his deceptions, his murders. The devil always opposes the word of God and works to destroy every place where the word of God is preached and taught. Without God's word, the people are scattered. So Jesus binds up the strong man. Jesus binds up Satan. The devil has no power when Jesus is around. The word of God casts away the devil. The devil must flee. Jesus cast out the devil by the finger of God, the word, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now the devil's kingdom is overthrown as demons are cast out. Now the people who were snatched by Satan, they're now gathered together by Jesus. This gracious work that Jesus is doing will soon earn him a spot in the long line of prophets who are killed at Jerusalem. Sickness and disease have always plagued mankind since the fall. They are a reminder that death is on its way, and death will always have its way. Sickness and disease ought not be in God's creation. One day they will not be in the new creation, but now bursting into this fallen creation, Jesus comes with this gracious work. He cures diseases. The reminder that death is on its way is undone as Jesus grants the gift of healing. And every healing is a reminder that death will be undone by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the healer must first go to his own death. Jesus does not flee from Herod as a coward, seeking to preserve his own life. He must go his way. Jesus speaks the word of the Lord, and then Jesus must die in Jerusalem, as did so many prophets before. God acted honorably. God sent his gracious word of life to his people. But his people turned that gracious work into their own shame, rejecting even violently, what God sends. For every preacher of the word, there is a cost. Calling sinners to repentance is dangerous business. That word of law, that mirror that shows us our sins, that mirror is often rejected by hearers. Who wants to hear about their own sins? A preacher may be well received if he talks about the other guy's sins, but Jeremiah pointed out the people's own sins. Jeremiah tells the people, God sent his word to you, you of all people, you, the kingdom of Judah, you of all people on earth, received God's law so that by doing it you would live. You of all people, God redeemed from Egypt with a mighty hand to save you, yet you do not listen to the word of the Lord. Therefore you will have your reward, your land will be desolate. Such is the danger of disregarding the word of God when it is spoken in admonition. When God says to turn from your sin, he says so because sin is dangerous. Sin destroys, sin separates man from God. No sin is a light sin. This call to repentance is an urging to turn from your sinful life immediately. Stubbornness is no virtue when that stubbornness refuses to turn and repent. The word of God gathers in men as a net gathers. Jesus speaks this word, and he does this gracious work to gather in his people as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. The Lord must go on his way. He has set his face toward Jerusalem. Our Lord must bind the strong man. He must put an end to death. He must be killed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's house is forsaken once again. They must kill the prophet. Violence arises against Jesus. Jesus is put before the chief priests, questioned, accused. Before Pilate, Jesus is found no guilt. Then Jesus goes before Herod, again, mocked. So much so that Herod and Pilate became friends that day on account of it. Finally, Jesus is brought before the people and they yell, crucify him, crucify him. This man deserves the sentence of death. Jesus allows the violence. Only know for certain that if you put this Jesus to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves. And so this innocent blood comes upon the people. The people bring shame upon themselves by killing the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes with grace, who comes to gather them in. And so the innocent blood does come upon them. That innocent blood covers up their shame. That innocent blood gathers in men as that hen gathers in her brood. The word that calls men to repentance is heeded. You too heed that call to repentance. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord gathers the godly to himself. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for certainly around the Holy Supper, the godly gather. And then that final gathering, when Jesus comes in the sight of all, as ruler of all, in the name of the Lord, he comes to gather his people together into his kingdom of glory. May that day come swiftly. Amen. Now the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Restore unto me a joy of thy salvation and uphold me.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Remember the congregations of your church, O Lord, which you have purchased with the holy blood of your Son. Strengthen and defend all pastors and church workers, giving them every good gift as they attend to your people. Cause us to rightly to fear your anger and rejoice in your redemption. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember us in a world convulsed by the wages of sin. As we watch nations falter, remind us that our eternal citizenship is in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, who will subject all things to himself. As we watch our own bodies fail, remind us that Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and companionship to those who live alone and foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places to worship our bellies, glory and shame, or set our minds on earthly things, but a refuge we're here while here and a foretaste of our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember our nation and those who you have placed in authority, O Lord. Give them wisdom and integrity, and grant that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember the sick and afflicted, O Lord, especially Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Brunetta, Mary, Gary, Bill, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Renee, Brenda, Donna, and Janice. Deliver them for the sake of Christ, who cast out demons and performed cures on his way to the cross. Strengthen their faith to hold fast to him, who rose again to raise them also. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember this household of faith, O Lord, and gather us together at your altar as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Unite us in a true confession of your word, sincere repentance for our sins, and joyful confidence in your Son's body and blood for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, who suffered the reproach of mankind as he bore our sins to the cross. Strengthen us gladly to bear reproach in your name and declare your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Lord Jesus Christ, the Church's head, you
true.